Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Lama Tantropa with a new show of interviewing a wonderful Qigong practitioner from New Jersey, Shoshana Kotzman, who has been a director of the Red Bank Acupuncture and Wellness Center in Tinton Falls, New Jersey, since 1988. As a licensed acupuncturist, herbalist, Tai Chi and Qigong professional, massage therapist, and energy medicine specialist, Shoshana has been involved in the field of Oriental medicine for over 30 years. She holds national licenses in acupuncture and Chinese herbal medicine through National Commission for Certification of Acupuncturists with a master's in science in the field. She also holds a master's degree in sports medicine. Shoshana was named first woman president of the National Qigong Association in 2004 and is now a chairman of the advisory board of the NQA. She's the former chairperson of the New Jersey State Acupuncture Examining Board and is now a board member. She is also on the board of advisors of Body and Soul magazine, owned by Martha Stewart Living. And she is a great practitioner of Qigong with several books to her name. One of the books is A Qigong for Staying Young, which I just received recently in the mail. And I've been looking through it, enjoying a number of wonderful workouts that Shoshana organized in a simple 20-minute routine to cultivate your vital energy. Now, I want to welcome Shoshana Kotzman on our radio talk show. Shoshana, are you in? All right, let me check. Hello, Shoshana. Are you on the call by any chance? Okay, let me check again. Hello, Shoshana, are you on the call?
Yes, I am. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Hi. Yes, we're having a little technical difficulty. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Just wanted to welcome you and say how much I'm honored to have you on our radio talk show.
Well, thank you. It's really, really wonderful to be here. I hope that we can share and really have a very wonderful hour together.
Fantastic. Well, I just wanted to mention that you not only became the first woman nominated and elected as the president of National Qigong Association, but also the first woman Qigong master being on our radio talk show, The Secrets of Qigong Masters.
That's quite an honor. Thank you.
So I just wanted to mention that you are, in my understanding, one of the preeminent experts in the Qigong benefits for women in this country. And I just looked through your book a number of times, actually, just enjoying how much you contribute to this field. Would you share a little bit more about...
Big part of it is what how Qigong balances hormones, especially as we get older, or even when we're just starting to go through adolescence, of course. So much of the woman's cycle has to do with the ebb and flow of hormones. And because Qigong is such a fantastic way of balancing the hormonal system, it really, really helps. And plus it strengthens the blood by moving the chi. The chi helps the blood to flow, and so many of our problems as women stem from not enough blood flow or stagnancy in the flow of our blood. And so when we move our chi through the gentle exercises of Qigong, we also strengthen our blood. So it really, really helps us as women.
Interesting. Well, of course, since I'm not a woman, I don't have the firsthand experience in that, but my philosophy, and please share yours in that regard, is that we don't really have any problems. Whenever we think we have problems, we're just missing learning opportunities. In other words, there is no way to learn anything if we don't pay attention to it, or if we don't regard it as an opportunity to learn. We're not in a learning mode. We are in a mode of fighting against problems. So does that sound in any way similar to how you approach Qigong and health in general?
I'm not totally getting what you're saying. Can you explain this a little bit clearer so I can respond?
Definitely. I wrote it in my book that you actually reviewed last year. So it is a really simple approach to life and any issues that life throws our way, be it health issues, financial issues, relationship or political or environmental issues. I believe that everybody I've ever spoken to in this particular regard agreed that whatever we've experienced in the past as a difficulty or some traumas or dramas, eventually, in hindsight, we realize that there were some opportunities to learn and grow from those experiences. I've asked numerous audiences whether anybody has ever had any challenges in their lives. And, of course, nobody has ever said they had no challenges. But then whenever I ask if they managed to learn and grow from those challenges, most people agree that this is what they did. It's just usually it happens in hindsight. We have great 20/20 hindsight vision. So my approach is basically to shorten this time lapse or collapse it completely if possible. So we don't have to wait till several months or even years down the road to look back at experiences that we have currently and realize, oh, those were not problems. Those were actually great learning opportunities.
Yes,
we can actually perceive them that way right now as we speak.
Yes,
then we won't be struggling with them.
Yes, I understand. The energetic system remembers every single wound, every single thing that has happened from when we have been born, or maybe even before, or whatever. But
right.
we have a cell memory, an energetic cell memory, and
mm-hmm.
and there is oftentimes a damage that happens on the energy level, energy body level, and so when we do Qigong, we heal.
Mm.
Heal these. Whatever the disconnect happened within our energy system and how the energy system works and then how it connects to the physical body. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, some people walk around with their wounds and they carry them and they don't move through them or past them. It's a very common thing. So when practice Qigong. Qigong can help you to heal it without necessarily going back and digging it up and going through it, but it can give you an overall sense of calm and peace and open up those connections within your energy body so it heals and you can be in the moment and you can be present and you can feel good no matter what has happened in your life.
Hmm.
Forward.
I see.
You
don't in other words, what you're saying is that some past dramatic or traumatic experiences created certain energy patterns.
Right.
I don't know if I can relate to a term wound in that regard, because I'm not sure that energetic field that we are actually gets damaged. But I can certainly see that there may be some patterns established that perhaps may not be the most resourceful or most beneficial for the person from that point on.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps in that case, we look at the patterns and we can realize that, wow, this is not working for me. I wonder what is going to work better.
Right.
Or
exactly.
if something is creating certain energy blockages or energy deficiencies or stagnation, we may look into that and see, huh, interesting. I'm creating my own stagnation by holding on to certain experience that has happened in the past. And so the longer I carry on to that, hold on to that pattern that I established at that time, the longer I will be suffering this particular health issue.
Right. So the Qigong establishes new, healthier patterns by opening up the flow of Qi. Vital energy opens it up because the meridians, the energy pathways, are part of the energy system. And so when you do the Qigong movements, the certain movements are related to your different organs, and it's related to your different endocrine glands, and it's related to emotions, and related to blood flow and the way your lungs capacity works on a physical level. And so it just enlivens the body, not only energetically but physically, because when these energy patterns are reopened, the body heals and it's in a wonderful, wonderful state of health, and you're at peace and in harmony with yourself and with nature.
And so once that happens, do you really find yourself at peace and harmony for the rest of your life, or do you continue that process and look for some other ways to heal, or you have to reintroduce these new patterns so that they become a more ongoing new habit, or how do you deal with that?
Well, it's a challenge. It's always a challenge each day, and that's why it's most important to practice the Qigong on a daily basis, because you are reopening the energy pattern each day. And every day, you know, when you're with other people or you have situations that happen, you know, you need to be reacquainted with yourself on a daily basis and be remembering yourself, bringing yourself back together and feeling whole, as in, you know, energetically and physically, having yourself feel more whole each day. That's why it's so important to practice it every day. I mean, if I miss my Qigong, my day is totally different. So I think it's really important just have a daily cleansing, a daily communing, you know, with nature around you, with your nature inside of yourself, and a daily reconnection and opening of those energy systems.
So when you're talking about being one with energy within yourself and remembering your wholeness, that requires certain practice, and that's what you do every day. I guess it must be happening in the morning, since that probably would set your whole day in a certain direction, right?
Yeah, and it's very similar to the feeling of, you know, when you take a shower, and you're in the shower and you wash your hair and you wash your body, and it's just a good way to start the morning. It just feel different on the days when you haven't done that. It's just, it's a ritual. It's a cleansing ritual, and you know, the feeling of the water flowing over your body, and it's just so refreshing and wonderful. And it's the same thing when you do your Qigong. And I absolutely do my Qigong in the morning when I wake up. You know, it's just when I do it.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
It's fascinating because in my meditation CD that I recorded last year and published it last year, one of the meditations actually is something I thought I came up with spontaneously. And that's the meditation imagining that you're taking a shower.
That's
a meditation as if imagining as if you're standing in shower and just visualizing the water pouring, just like you described, all over your body, washing and cleansing you. You know how people often sing in showers, even though they may be very shy or inhibited in other moments throughout the day.
Yeah.
But they actually enter an altered state of mind. When they are in the shower and you giving attention to yourself, to your entire body, rather than just being in the head.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I can totally relate to this wonderful image that you just created.
That's great. We have it in common now.
Yeah. Well, I have to admit that I'm curious about this daily Qigong practice. Not that I have anything against it, but when you're talking about being one with your inner energy and remembering your wholeness and all these wonderful things, I wonder if this is something that needs to be done as an exercise, or this is something that we can actually practice all the time.
Oh, absolutely.
In other words, being one with your inner nature all the time probably is more beneficial than doing it 20 minutes every day.
Oh, no, it's throughout the day. And, and your Qigong and Tai Chi practice is that's what's so cool about it, is that it is not just an exercise, but it is a way of being. It's a way of living and
right.
a way of interacting in you know, within yourself at all times. And, you know, that's the great thing about it.
Yeah, when I was doing an interview with Ken Cohen last Monday, one of my listeners called in and said, can you tell us what one can do with Qigong if one just has 30 minutes a day? Well, I understand that your book promotes a workout that it takes only 20 minutes. But I really liked how through the discussion, Ken and I, and then Mark Johnson also joined us later, we figured out that probably it's not going to be 30 minutes per day workout. It's going to be a workout of paying attention how you stand, sit, walk, lie down, or do anything.
Cool.
And that is the true practice of Qigong that requires 24 hours a day, 7 days a week involvement.
The body, breath, and mind, and applying that to all of it. But the thing is that I feel better when I do it every day. But when I work with people, if a person can only do it once a month or once a week, that's good for them, and that will help them. I don't put on people that they have to do it. I recommend that they can attempt to do that, but I don't have any strict rules with it because everybody has their own way. Traditionally, that's how I was taught, though, and I personally feel better when I do it every day, and so I want to do it every day, and so I need to be an example for myself, and everyone needs to be an example to themselves and take care of themselves in whatever way they need it. So it's not a directive that I say you have to do this. I love when I do it every day.
And you've been doing this for a number of years.
34 years.
Wow. How did you get involved with the practice of Qigong?
I just saw people in the panhandle in San Francisco doing these beautiful, bizarre movements, graceful, beautiful, beautiful movements. And I was always an athlete, and I was extremely attracted to the movements. And so I went into the panhandle and found out they had a class, and I joined.
I see.
Yeah.
Who was teaching that class, do you remember?
Bing Zhang. And he's known as the best student of Guo Linying in Portman Square in San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
And so there was a very close connection between our school, our class, and Guo Linying's class in Chinatown. So
interesting.
Yeah, we had oh my goodness, in the day we had over 100 people practicing Tai Chi and Qigong together every day. And I used to train 4 to 6 hours a day, and I did Kung Fu also, Northern Shaolin, Chor Li Fut, lots of weapons and lots of sets in all different forms. So it was,
sounds like fun.
Yeah, it was a large part of my day, and it still is. So and then I started learning acupuncture 7 years later, because traditionally Qigong and Tai Chi teachers become acupuncturists because we use
really?
The energy that we cultivate within ourselves to help other people heal.
How interesting. Qigong teachers become acupuncturists. I would probably like to see the reversal of this trend, so that the acupuncturists would become Qigong teachers.
Well,
how can we do that?
Yeah, there's a lot of Qigong and Tai Chi taught in the acupuncture schools, and it's part of Chinese
really?
Medicine. And yes,
right.
I work to have as many of my patients as I can do Qigong, because if they're doing Qigong, they won't need the they won't need me, because the Qigong and opens up the flow. They'll be opening it themselves, so they'll keep themselves healthy. And that's the beauty, that's why this would be such an amazing thing in our national healthcare system, for Qigong and Tai Chi and yoga and all these wonderful internal arts to be a mainstay for people in our populace. I mean, it would just be incredible with how they're, the people just are not able to keep their energy open, and they're having problems. So
perhaps rather than acupuncturists teaching their clients Qigong and seeing that clients don't need the acupuncturist anymore and they disappear from their practice, which would be like shooting yourself in the foot business-wise.
There's always going to be people that, there's always going to be people for acupuncturists to work on. I don't think that'll be a problem.
Oh, I see.
And
I'm just thinking maybe... Go ahead.
The important thing is that people are healthy, and, there's just so many people. I mean, maybe you'll need your acupuncture once in a while, but you'll be able to keep yourself really healthy.
I wonder if HMOs would need to get on the bandwagon and start offering this health promotion practices that promote health and wellness, which would probably allow them to save a lot of money instead of covering the medical expenses that people incur when they get sick.
Yeah, and I think, along the way, I have seen insurance companies pay for Tai Chi, so
it's coming,
and I've had clients, Tai Chi and Qigong students that come to me, they've been referred by their doctors to do the movements to help them heal themselves, so it's coming.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
And I wonder what you think about the level of training that acupuncturists receive in the acupuncture schools. In my experience, every acupuncture school I've visited, I noticed that the curriculum included only a very meager number of hours dedicated to Qigong and very little, if any, to Tai Chi, probably because there is no licensure exam on Qigong to become a licensed acupuncturist. So nobody really bothers to spend time and energy studying something like that.
Right.
And then, of course, acupuncturists end up either not knowing Qigong much or having to study it on their own when they realize that their acupuncture doesn't work really well if they are not energetically attuned.
It really needs to be more of a set part of the curriculum. And And the other thing I find missing is the energy medicine curriculum. Here we are as acupuncturists working on the energy body, and we're really not taught enough about what we're doing when we needle certain points on the energy body and what other parts of the energy body other than the meridians that they're opening. So there's a great deal that still needs to be developed in acupuncture schools, but I think they're doing a great job and they've come a long way.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, when I started, I guess, 1974, and I was in San Francisco, that was around the time when the first acupuncture school started. So, I mean, if you look at it that way, they haven't been at it that long in this country, and they've really been doing well. Now they have the doctorate level. So it is developing. It just takes time.
Mm-hmm. And does anybody offer more Qigong training so that the person receive doctorate degree in acupuncture?
I'm not sure.
I haven't seen any.
I would have to check into it. I think they all get a taste of it, I know, in the acupuncture schools, which is good. But,
right.
You know, it's the same thing as with our clients. It would be incredible if everybody practiced, but people don't have the discipline. And it's very, very hard to find people that will do these practices for themselves. And so that's why... it is tough, and it's the same thing with the acupuncture students. It's a certain type of person. You know for yourself when you get a student that is does it every day from the time you start teaching them, and you know they're going to do it the rest of their life. That's it. You know that they are a person of your own heart. I love when I get students like that. I have several right now like that. It's the best. But they're few and far between.
Well, probably there is some issue with motivation.
Yeah.
Probably
so.
People aren't very motivated, or they just don't see the value in doing Qigong because they think that it's something weird and it doesn't apply to them.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke to various health professionals throughout the years, and everybody seems to agree with this assertion that people heal best when they're ready to heal.
Uh-huh.
And I noticed that the same applies to people practicing Qigong. Mm-hmm. They get the best benefits when they're ready to. And that's why, for example, in my practice, I shifted from teaching Qigong to coaching people.
Mm-hmm.
Because coaching allows to really tap into the motivation and recognition of what really makes you tick and what makes you excited about things, and on the other hand, what makes you procrastinate or just to put off some practices that you know may be great for you, but you have some other more pressing issues to deal with right now.
I've learned a great deal about my own teaching recently. I'm teaching an older woman, and I had to work with her on, like, one movement for, I don't know, it must be 3 months now. And as a teacher, it's just so fantastic because so many times you can get stuck into, well, how many new moves did you teach? Or people, like, get stuck in how much they've learned. And I think it's just been so beautiful with this one student is that we have just worked on one exercise this whole time, and it's been so healing to just stop and just connect with this one movement. And honestly, that's all you really need to do. You don't have to do a half an hour. You don't have to do 5 minutes. 1 minute of one exercise that you really connect to with yourself.
And what do you do for the rest of the day, 24 hours and 23 hours and 20 minutes or 23 hours and 55 minutes?
Well, you're moving through your day. You're still moving, but you're not in the posture that you practice for that 1 minute or 5 minutes. You're just moving consciously, staying connected with yourself, listening to yourself, hearing yourself, feeling yourself, being in the moment, knowing that you're there, knowing that you're a whole being, that you're there physically and that you're there energetically and that your chi is flowing and your blood is flowing and you're
right.
You're one big energy-filled loving being that's looking to connect in your life and to feel good.
That's experiencing human experiences.
Yes.
And so the question is then, how do we remember to practice this type of energy awareness and body alignments and opening ourselves to the flow of chi throughout the rest of the day?
Well,
so we don't just consider our practice 5 minutes, 20 or 30 minute practice.
Well, when you're doing, let's say you're doing an Ichuan exercise, a standing exercise where you're holding your hands in a posture and you're looking out into the distance and you're experiencing that higher self where you know that you're looking down and you're looking from the sides and looking up from underneath and you're seeing the whole picture. You're seeing the forest through your trees while you're doing this incredibly calming, energizing, you know, developing your internal structure, getting your chi flowing, and you're doing this movement, you know, this standing where you're experiencing movement within stillness, and you're standing in this posture, and you're feeling life, and you're connecting with the universal life energy, and it's like a biofeedback where you're going, oh, I'm doing this now, and this will stay with me. And so just by practicing this movement, whether it's for 1 minute or 20 minutes, it's a biofeedback system into your mind, into your body, into your feelings, into your energy system that's reminding you of what this feels like, and so you always come back to it.
And do you enter any particular state associated with this practice?
Sometimes you
state of consciousness?
Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. And you just keep doing it, and the more you do it, the more likely it is you will enter into that state.
Is it Qigong state that we're referring to?
Yeah, this is Wang, that nothing, that feeling of almost like the mind is quiet and there's energy everywhere, and when I'm in that state, I don't want to go do, I just want to be right there in that moment.
And interesting.
Yeah.
So you don't want to do anything, you just want to be.
Yeah.
And that state of being, the Qigong state, if you will,
yes,
is possible to also experience throughout the rest of the day when you're healing, working with your patients, when you're talking to people, when you're driving a car, eating your dinner, having fun in the park with a dog or whatever.
Yep, just like you just woke up. Everything.
Uh-huh.
Every single thing around you right now.
And that creates a different slant on life, doesn't it?
It creates a very alive state of life, yes. A very, very present, very physical, and at the same time extremely energetic and satisfying because you can really see what is there in front of you.
I'm not sure if I noticed any mentioning of that in your book, but I might have missed it somehow. Did you write anything in your book about the Qigong state and the benefits of being?
Yes, about about that just getting into that place, the thoughts moving like clouds and white fluffy clouds, and feeling the energy. In this section about standing like a tree and walking like a turtle.
Oh yes, I see. Yeah. I see. I'm looking at the section right now. By the way, our listeners can and should check out your book on the website of our radio talk show. Those of you guys who are listening to our show right now, or if you download this show and listen to it afterwards, you're welcome to go to blogtalkradio.com/Qigong Masters in one word. And on this webpage, you can actually find Shoshana Katzman's book called Qigong for Staying Young, as well as her DVD, the companion DVD that she created, which was supposed to help probably understand better some of the techniques and exercises that she developed. Shoshana, do you have a website where people can find more information about your work?
Well, the main website, and you can get to my Qigong website through there, is healing4u.com.
Healing4u.com.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And if people want to find your book perhaps more information about your work, they can do that on that website.
Yes, most definitely.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So, once again, this is www.healing4u, with four as a number and u as one letter, .com. Great. Shoshana, do you offer any programs or events, or how can people get more experience with you in addition to reading your book or watching your film?
Well, all of this information is on my website, but this weekend I'm teaching three workshops at a women's conference in at the Unitarian Church in Lincroft, New Jersey. And then I'm in the spring, after around Easter time, I'm teaching three group classes, two on Qigong, one on Tai Chi. And then I'm teaming up with two other women health professionals, and we're going to be doing some talks on holistic health techniques for women. And it's just I do a lot of community outreach. Plus, I work one-on-one with people in my wellness center.
And what do people experience I would say, is there any particular protocol, or what do people experience when they come to you for healing, for example?
Usually with the acupuncture, plus I also talk with them about energy medicine and how to be more connected with themselves from my studies with Christine Schenk, who is in Hamburg, Germany. I've been studying with her for, it's well over 10 years now. So, but I give, and I also work with Chinese herbs and the Qigong and the Tai Chi healing, the exercise healing, and I also work with food. But typically people work with me, come in and have a consultation, and we sit and get to know each other, and then I have them lay down, and I give them acupuncture, and they lay on the table and do their own healing. I don't apply any healing to people energetically unless they're very, very sick, and then I will do that. But basically, I encourage people to heal themselves through the application of the needles or the practicing of the Qigong movements or the practice of the energy medicine techniques that I teach them.
Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So in other words, people receive a holistic treatment in a way that addresses their energetic processes that they're going through, and perhaps also helps them learn how to heal themselves.
Most definitely. And I keep myself, my own energy out of the mix. I just show them, by them being in my presence, what it feels and looks like to be working on one's energy. I have to do that within myself in order for them to do it within themselves. And so I'm working on it all the time myself. And I get there, and like you were asking, it's an ebb and flow. You know, you get there, and then something happens, and you're like, oh, and then you get it back, and it's just a continual process. And as every time you achieve something, it's time to peel the onion that much more and get to the next level. It's always a work in progress, and it's just beautiful because you just get more and more at peace with it. So my work reflects that as to where my process is, because we have to be very careful as practitioners, because when we haven't healed within ourselves, we can pass it energetically onto our clients. So, you know, that's why it's always good to have a practitioner that's working on themselves also all the time.
Does it mean that you should not be a practitioner of Qigong if you have not healed yourself fully?
Oh, no, because we're all in the process, but don't act like you got it all when you don't really. Because...
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're all, and you have to be very careful what you do energetically. You know, you can be practicing your own Qigong and you can teach it to people, but you just have to be very, very careful, very, very careful of what you do and how you do it and what you say, because, you know, the projections can be. Just have to be very careful with your own projections when you're working on your own stuff.
Right. Interesting. Now, when you're talking about projections, it sounds almost like you may actually project on the patient certain energetic patterns of yours.
Yeah.
And then they will have to deal with that somehow.
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of casting a spell inadvertently.
It reminds you of what?
Of casting a spell inadvertently.
Well, I don't know. Maybe. I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't know. That's kind of a scary thought. But this is how it is when we're interacting with everyone. Each person needs to have such good, you know, like we have to wash our hands. When we work, it's the same thing. We have to wash our bodies, and we have to have good etiquette with each other. And we have to not put our stuff out on other people. It's very, very important.
Right.
Really important. And I don't think people are mindful enough of that. And it's just that's why each person needs to protect themselves so much. And really, they're the only ones that really know what they need. And you need to be very careful when you go to a practitioner that you don't give all yourself up to them. You have to maintain your own integrity. And, you know, it's very important to be mindful of that when you work with people.
I am reading your bio, and I'm fascinated by the fact that you also have masters in the sports medicine.
Right.
Does that have anything to do with your involvement with martial arts or any other sports?
Oh, sure, because when I trained the Tai Chi and Qigong and Kung Fu, and I had decided that I wanted to teach it, I also wanted to understand the Western medical aspects of exercise physiology. and so that I wasn't just teaching, just like I'm teaching physical medicine, I'm teaching energetic medicine, I'm teaching Eastern medicine, I'm teaching Western approach to medicine as well. So it's all here. We're a Western society, so I wanted to be adept at Western exercise physiology as well.
Well, speaking of exercise physiology, some people ask me once in a while, and I just received another similar question by email from one of our listeners, whether Qigong has enough exercises that would be cardiovascular and or strength building.
Right.
Most of the Qigong practices appear to be rather benign and slow motion and rather gentle,
right,
which probably isn't going to develop stamina or strength much. Is the practice of Qigong sufficient in and of itself, or do you think that that's not enough for a person to stay healthy?
Well, traditionally, it's said that the cardiovascular balancing is sufficient, but I personally like to go and do the elliptical or the walking on the treadmill. I like to mix the Western exercise with the Eastern. I like to do the external. I see that as more of an external building of the body and the muscles, and the Qigong is a more internal. So I like to do both, but honestly, I also feel like the Qigong and the Tai Chi do train the heart, maybe even in a better way, and that you have to be careful when you're doing aerobics and things like that, that you don't overdo it. You know, at the gym, I look over and I see people, you know, overdoing it. They're not in tune with their bodies. So I think you have to be careful with it, but I like doing both, and I think Tai Chi and Qigong can increase strength and flexibility and, you know, soften and open up the tendons. So, and we have many different exercises to help do that. So I think it's a system unto itself. I just personally like doing both forms of exercises every day.
Yeah, it sounds like some of the exercises you wrote about in your book and presented in your DVD could be quite beneficial for flexibility. For example, I see you doing something like a squat that's almost turning into a split.
Yes,
and
tigers crouching down. Yeah.
Right. And then there is another exercise where you're saying that the ideal goal of this exercise is to reach your toes of the straight leg with your chin.
Yeah, your chin.
How do you do that?
Chin to your toe. Well, that's a very traditional Chinese exercise, and the Chinese body type does have a very long back and the shorter legs, so it is easier for them to do it, but Westerners can do it too. You just have to keep stretching and stretching your chin to your toe. And then when that happens,
really?
When that happens, it opens up the Du and Ren channel. So when you get your chin to the toe, it opens up the internal pathway. It takes.
And what do you do once you've reached your toes with your chin? Is it the end goal, or there is something else that you may be able to do on a more advanced level?
That's the end goal, to get that energy flowing. Yeah.
Hmm. And then what? So you reach the goal, and then you quit doing it, or?
No, you just keep practicing it. And you just keep
Same thing.
Doing it. And you practice, you do it every day, and you continually open up that circulation in the governing and conception vessel.
Mm-hmm. And can you open them so that they actually stay open without having to reopen them every day?
I'm sure you can. I'm sure.
How do you do that?
Well, then you can do the microcosmic orbit, where you sit and you visualize the energy moving around those meridian pathways. So you can do it through mental practice as well.
So in that case, you won't need to reach for the toes with your chin?
Nope.
Huh. Okay, so we can dispense with that exercise if we just do the microcosmic and macrocosmic orbit?
Probably.
All right. All right, maybe we don't have to do 20-minute workout. We'll just do 19-minute workout. We just crossed out one of the exercises, guys. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I'm just pulling your leg. This is a great exercise. I've done it. Can't reach the toes with my chin, sorry. I'm not a Westerner, but my legs are a little too long for that.
It's called Phoenix Eats Its Ashes.
Right. It's the Phoenix eating its ashes.
Yes.
So when you get to eat your ashes with your chin reaching your toes, you don't have to do it anymore. You just keep your energy flowing by some other means.
Yeah, but it's
that's
great.
Great.
But it's such a good stretch of the back and the back of the leg. And oh, my gosh, it's such – it just feels so good. It's a wonderful stretch for the body.
So then it's really something that can be done not to achieve the goal of reaching something with something, but
yeah,
rather for the enjoyment of the process.
Oh, yeah, opening up that stretching of the muscle behind the leg and on the ankle and bringing your foot back and getting that flexibility there and opening up your hip. And you have to do it with a flat back, so it's so good mm-hmm. for your back and the bladder meridian on the back and opening up your kidney energy. Oh, my gosh, it feels so good.
By the flat back, you mean actually keeping the long muscles of the back tense so that the back wouldn't curve in the lumbar section of the spine?
Right. When my students try and do it, they always bend over their chin to their toe and their back is rounded and their spine is rounded. And I always
uh-huh.
have them to flatten and stretch from the tailbone, stretch, you know, on the sacrum and keep that flat and have the back flat when they're stretching.
So by keeping the muscles along the spine tense,
right,
which
right.
would keep the back straighter, doesn't it prevent the energy from flowing freely along the blood meridian?
Yes, yes, exactly.
Hmm. So it actually prevents the energy from flowing, and you want to do that?
Well, when you have the rounded back, the energy can't flow as freely up the back like that. So,
really? Isn't that what they talk about, the five bows in Tai Chi, one of the bows being the spine?
No, I haven't heard that.
No? Oh, okay. It's just one of the analogies that's often used in Tai Chi, imagining arms and legs and the spine as bows that have a certain curve to them.
Oh.
But I cannot say that I fully subscribe to that way of looking at the body, because when things are curved as bows, they probably are just dysfunctional. They probably need to be able to flex and straighten. The functionality comes from mobility rather than from keeping it in a certain fashion, certain form.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, the thing about the Tai Chi and Qigong that with the circles and the, you know, the bow, the image of the bow is kind of nice too, because it keeps that circular flow coming. You know, the postures that we create when we do our movements are we take our angular, you know, our bones that are longitudinal, and we make them rounded by how we hold them in our postures to get the energy flowing.
Right.
I like that,
right.
That it keeps that round image. And, you know, no matter how much you want to flatten your back, there's still that bow. There's still that roundedness there. It's just you bring your lower back down, you know, and image it as being flat, but it's not totally flat. It just feels like it is. You know?
And the hamstrings and the muscles of the calves, would not get overstretched. I'm looking at you doing that. It looks like a person with a less than optimal flexibility could easily overextend their leg. And they would probably suffer some repercussions of pulling the muscles.
No, just don't go down. Go as far as you can. Just have the image of the exercise and, you know, just continually each day doing it gently a little bit more. Get your chin a little bit closer. But no, never force it. Never overdo it. And
I'm just imagining that the people who hear about trying to reach the toes with the chin would get arduous and serious about it, and then they would wake up the next morning unable to walk.
No. Never always honor your body's limitations. And also the other thing about when you're stretching to get the chin to the toe and flattening your back, you're also taking, like if you're rounded, you're squeezing your organs. So when you're stretching out and flattening the back, it's opening up the space and allowing your organs to breathe better too and move and feel better too. But no.
And there is some benefit. There is some benefit from squeezing the organs, like perhaps some sort of internal organ massage, huh?
Yes, that's true. But for this, sometimes people's postures, and they're so bent over all the time, and they're squeezing their organs, and they just need to stand up straight or stretch out their spine to open that up to.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that it may be a particular physiological manifestation of their state of consciousness?
Oh, definitely. Oh, my gosh, absolutely, in the way people hold their necks and like there's a huge weight behind their neck and their head is forward and their shoulders are rounded and, oh, my gosh, it's so heavy, you know, what they've been carrying around in their life. And so when they can learn to open that posture and keep their head and have that head, top of the head suspended by a golden thread to the ceiling and gently lift up and open, they can breathe again and live fully again. It's just unbelievable how the body is telling so many stories, and it's just open that energy flow.
If the person has a certain habitual state of consciousness associated with perhaps their identity, who they think they are, then when they try to put themselves in a different pattern of holding tension in the body that they're not used to, they can probably acquire a better posture, but then they will forget about it, or they just won't feel like themselves anymore if they're supposed to hold that new pattern for any extended period of time. And, of course, they will revert to their habitual pattern of holding tension rather quickly.
That's why they have to practice it every day.
So there is a certain reminder.
Yeah, it's a reminder. It's a learned new pattern. And the more and once they start doing it more, then it will start carrying through to the rest of their day. And it will change how they feel in their life.
Sounds like we've made a full circle from where we started our discussion. Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
I really appreciate you sharing your wisdom, Shoshana. And let me just ask you one more question that I really like asking all of my guests. Since the name of our show is The Secrets of Qigong Masters, would you share with us a secret of yours that makes you so successful and so well prepared to do your work? You became the first woman ever to become the president of the NQAA, and you really are a successful author. What is the secret of your success?
That I decide that I want to create something, and I get the image, and I don't stop until it's created. I stay very focused intent, E-Y, the E, the mm-hmm. intent of what it is I want to create. And I keep going, I keep working, I keep chipping it away. Like when I studied with my energy medicine teacher for 10 plus years, I wanted to get it. It was very difficult, but I kept going and going and going. And 10 years later, it happened. And now I can just sit and remember to appreciate the work it took to get there and to sit back and appreciate the book I wrote on Qigong, how much work it was to help people over the years to heal and to appreciate the work that went into it. But it's that focus, that intent to create and not stop till it's there.
Interesting. I don't know if you recall from my book, I actually wrote about intent or intention that is so highly regarded by a lot of people in the New Age circles nowadays, and compared with attention in such way that intention appears to be always laced with expectations, always looking towards something that is not in the present. Obviously, you must have some dream in order to have an intention to reach for that goal, for that dream of yours.
Mm-hmm.
And that, by definition, denies the acceptance of the present, denies the fact that you are exactly where you need to be, and perhaps tries to get somewhere where you're not.
That sounds
so
nice
the
too.
Grass is always greener on the other side, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps this mental attitude is one of the main reasons of suffering in people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
Because whenever you compare the current state of affairs with a dream that you wish to be living instead,
uh-huh.
You know, how people sometimes even have the license plates that say, I'd rather be fishing, or I'd rather be surfing, or whatever they'd rather be doing. In other words, the greater the gap between the current state of affairs and the dream state, the greater there is discrepancy, the greater there is suffering.
Separation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So in that regard, or knowing that, I often suggest or practice switching from having intentions to having attentions.
Uh-huh.
And actually, attention is something that doesn't require projection of your thoughts into the future,
mm-hmm.
but rather allows you to be fully present and actually have the full acceptance of whatever is at the present moment.
That sounds good to me.
So then, if you actually switch from intention to attention,
uh-huh.
How will you be able to be successful? Will you? Or the definition of success will have to change? Or is it too much for our show tonight?
I would really need to think about the word, the word success, and what is success?
Right.
What is success to one person is, I mean, it's just all so success. I would have to, success to me, you know, bringing me back to that place where you just brought me, success
mm-hmm.
to me right now in this moment is the fact that I am connected with myself. I'm trusting myself. I'm good to myself, I love myself, and I'm able to project and open my mouth and share these thoughts and go to these places with you and be myself. So to me, that's success to me in this moment, and I don't have to do anything else except for this and to be whole and to be in this peaceful place. To me, that's successful, and I'm very happy to be able to share this with you.
So that is the true essence of Qigong, isn't it?
Yes,
it is. Being instead of doing.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It is. It's true.
Great. So in that case, when we are experiencing this Qigong state, when we can be instead of do or have things,
right,
then we probably also physiologically experience different patterns of holding tension.
Yeah.
Our posture probably changes spontaneously.
Yeah,
instead
yeah.
of correcting it according to somebody's ideas of what's right and what's wrong, we actually can find ourselves in the most natural state.
Yes,
that is natural
good.
For us.
Yes, that sounds good. Excellent. Yes, I like
that. And then perhaps we begin to experience that not because we are supposed to hold our heads in a certain position or hold our tailbones or some other parts of the body a certain way, but we actually experience that spontaneously because that feels more natural to us now.
That sounds good.
So the question, of course, is how to maintain that level of awakened consciousness throughout the day.
Yeah.
And that's probably something we'll have to explore in our future shows. I'm mindful of the time, and I don't want to take too much of your time. It's already past 10 o'clock on the East Coast. I really, really appreciate you taking your time and making the appearance on our show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to remind all our listeners once again that Shoshana Kosman is a great Qigong teacher who also practices acupuncture in New Jersey and is an author of the book Qigong for Staying Young, as well as the DVD that you can find on our website, www.blogtalkradio.com/Qigong Masters. And for more information about Shoshana's work, please go to healingforyou.com. And that's spelled healing, number 4, letter U, .com. Is that right?
That's it. You got it.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, is there anything else that you would like to say in conclusion?
No, it's just I'm just thinking about flowers and how flowers open and bloom, and it's just a wonderful, beautiful thing. And I just hope that for myself and for you and for your listeners that in this spring, this beautiful springtime of blooming, that we all connect with the blooming flower within ourselves.
And being as natural as flowers, what can be healthier than being natural, huh?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So
wonderful.
I'm glad to have been your first female, and I hope it was really good for you. It was very enjoyable for me. Thank you so much for having me here tonight.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. The pleasure is all mine, and I will look forward to our future shows. I also want to remind our listeners, next week I'm interviewing another wonderful Qigong teacher from Colorado, Jim McCreechy, who is actually the founder or one of the founders of the National Qigong Association. He was the founding president of the NQA, and please make sure that you don't forget to tune in on Monday, the 23rd of March, at the same time, 9 p.m. on the East Coast, 6 p.m. on the West Coast, and we will have lots of fun. Thank you, and have a wonderful night.